First of all, I'd like to thank John Hicks for filling in for me last week. I appreciate that, and it was great to have someone that is capable of, again, sharing the word with you. We're going to continue where John left off, and we're going to look at basically the first two verses of my lesson this morning, from verses 19 to 27 in chapter 1. I do have some worksheets. If you need a worksheet, just raise your hand and Dean will share that with you. This is for this morning, and the worksheets Dean Cruz put out last week, and there are some extra copies in the back for chapter 2 when we start off, when you continue our study next week. So this morning we are going to look at the preparations necessary to withstand trials and temptations. Remember when we first looked at James chapter 1, verse 2? James says, it is a joy that we have trials in our lives. Not so much as being tempted, but God is giving us the opportunity to grow with those trials and temptations. Let me open this up a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul shares with the saints at Corinth in verse 13, and he says, no temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also so that you'll be able to endure it. God is going to give you a way of getting out of that temptation. And as Christians, we should be searching the scriptures and acquiring the knowledge so that we could withstand Satan's snares. So this morning we are going to pick up where in James, in the last part of chapter 1. First of all, he started out with temptations. We all have temptations. Each and every one of us has different temptations. And John had shared with us that last week that temptations are not from God. Satan is in control of them. Temptation is of man, of his own lust or evil desire. And temptation is not from God. It's not God's nature to tempt us. We see that in our lives daily, and it's up to you and I to combat that. One way we do it is by studying the scriptures, by praying to God for wisdom. And in the first few verses of this chapter, James reminds us, all you have to do is ask God for the wisdom, and he'll provide it. So this morning, we're going to be looking at preparations necessary to withstand the trials and temptations. And this is at the end of chapter 1. We are going to see, as you looked at verses 19 and 20 of last week, plus 21, we're going to see, be quick to hear the word of God. He also says, be slow to speak and slow to anger. And we'll cover that. Also, one way to prepare yourself is to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. We have to put the word in our lives into action. We have to share that blessed word of God with others. We as Christians have to move forward in our lives to be approved of God by following his commandments and doing his will. You know, book knowledge is great. You can read the Bible back and forth. You can study it. You can understand how to quote scriptures by memorizing. But God wants you to put what you learned into action, making sure that's part of your daily walk of life as a Christian. Another way to prepare is to control the tongue. And he's going to mention that in verse 26. But also, in the latter part of this book, he's going to discuss how the tongue, the smallest part of the body, does the worst damage. And we all have fallen into that trap. I know I have. When I was younger, even now, you have to control your tongue. You have to control your thoughts. You have to not blurt something out, and you'll be sorry for it, what you say. As Christians, we have to model ourselves after Christ. We have to be like Christ. We have to control our tongue. And finally, the last preparation that James shares with us is practice pure religion. Visit the needy and keep yourself from being corrupted by the world. That's one of the charges he gives to us so that we can be servants of the Lord. We could be lights in this community. We could share the gospel message with those who are in need. So why should we be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger? Can I get someone to read verses 19 and 20, please?
Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. We must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires.
Thank you, Vicki. So James says to his brethren, those who were scattered abroad, those who were Christians, you must be quick to hear. You listen, but be slow to speak and slow to anger. And why? Because the anger of man doesn't achieve God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Just think back in the first century where they had learned individuals, Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were in depth in the law, but did they practice it? Christian today, you and I, we have God's word at our disposal. And you know, we're very fortunate because we could look at different translations. We could look at many things. Understand what God wants you to do, but put it into practice. Christians were humble, as Christ is. And that should be our attitude. Put humility into our lives so that we can share God's word with others. We humble ourselves by listening to others. Allow them to speak and listen. Don't make judgments on what they say, but listen to that individual. Listen to their concerns. Listen to their listen to what they are trying to convey to you. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, can I get someone to read that particular verse, please?
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel.
Thank you, guys. So we see a fool, he knows better in his mind and in his eyes. But the wise man listens to counsel. He listens to someone who is providing some information to him so that he can apply it to his lives. So we as Christians should humble ourselves by listening to others. They have something to say and something to share. I remember when I was younger, I knew all the answers. But yet as I grew older, I realized there's a lot of things that I missed. There's a lot of things that people were trying to share with me to improve my quality of life. I missed that. We as Christians should listen to God. We should listen to what He wants us to do. We should take the time to think over what we say, Kevin. How many times we blurt something out that's wrong? We do that all the time. But we should be thinking on what we are going to say. A prideful person is quick to speak. He wants everybody to hear what he knows. And he talks over people. He wants to show that he is knowledgeable. But we as Christians, we should take our time to think about what we're going to say so that we don't offend anybody. But more important is we do not want to sin. And that's what we have to realize in our lives. Can I get someone to read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, please? Thank you very much, Kristen. So we see that a fool, and this is Solomon talking about someone who has the understanding, wants to share his understanding of whatever it is. Is revealing his own mind. You know, when you look at the book of Proverbs, it shares with us many, many applications we could apply to our lives. And James, in his presentation to those individuals in the book of James, we see that he is also telling us how Christians should put God's word into action. It's a practical way we're supposed to walk on time side of eternity. And finally, the anger of a man is contrasted with the righteousness of God. When we're angry, we're walking out of step with God. True, Jesus was in the temple and he got angry with the money changers, but yet he did that for a purpose and forgot about it. We shouldn't let our anger carry us and cause us to stumble. Can someone read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, please? Thank you, Eileen. So there are times when we get angry, but don't sin. And don't let that anger embellish you so that it just keeps on building up in you, in you, that you allow Satan an opportunity to come by and pull you away from God. Yes, sir.
This goes more with back with be slow to anger. One of the things that, because I have a real quick temper, one of the things that's helping with that is when you are listening, sometimes you hear something entirely different than what they were saying. So when, in order to be slow to anger, if you say, I heard you say this, that gives them the opportunity to rephrase it and tell you if it was not what it is. Because sometimes we hear what life has framed for us, our experiences. So we hear something different than what the person was really saying. And that really can stop a whole argument by just getting that person to clarify what they really meant. Now, then they may get even angrier, but then you have to work on all the other things you've been talking about.
Exactly. That's an excellent point when we see that we've been wronged, we've been insulted, and we've been mistreated. And you take that to heart, and you tune out everything that individual's saying. That's why you have to listen. You have to carefully listen. And if you don't understand it, ask that person to repeat it, just like Carol had indicated. One of the things when I was working way back when, I listened to someone, and then I asked them, let me ask you if this is what I'm hearing. And I go back and ask so that we're on the same page. Listen carefully and slow to speak. It's where your anger won't get you in trouble. And it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. How can you as an individual be angry and share the gospel with someone? It's hard. Eileen.
Okay, and even when you're hitting somebody, you've got to be careful not to go because then they
hit me. I'm with you 100%. I get myself with a lot of trouble because I'm from Brooklyn. And I speak different. I interpret differently. And someone said, someone asked me how well I was doing. Okay. Just okay. To me, okay is great. But not here, not in the West Coast. So you have to be careful. And I'm learning. I get face slaps me on the head when I don't listen. So when you don't listen, you give this devil the opportunity to pull you away from God. And I'm having a little trouble with this thing here. So how should we receive the word of God? And this is the second question on that sheet. And this is where we're going to probably pick up our lesson from John's lesson. Can someone read James chapter 1, verse 21, please?
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul.
Thank you very much, Vicky. So, putting all filthiness and wickedness out of your lives, and we should receive the word of God. How? With humility, with meekness. Excellent points. You know, and that's the way we should be conducting our lives. so that others could see Jesus in us. Humility is meekness. It's not that you're cowardly, but yet you show an attitude of honoring God through your life. He goes on to say the filthiness, it refers to any sort of moral defilement or impurity. We have to stay away from that. The wickedness denotes the moral evil and corruption in general, especially in regard to intent. It pertains to sin that is deliberate and determined. And it may reside in the heart for a long time before it's being expressed outwardly, and may in fact never be expressed outwardly. If it within your heart, you sin it. We have to eliminate that from our lives. Take that out of our lives as a Christian so that we could display what Christ is in our lives. And we can do that. So why should, and I'm having trouble seeing this thing, why should we be doers of the word and not hearers only? And can I get someone to read James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25?
But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
Thank you very much, Carol. So, doers of the word. How can we all be doers of the word? Is there a formula that we should follow? Is there a rules to be doers of the word? Where faith?
First, you have to know what the word says before you can do it.
Exactly. So what does that entail? Reading the Bible. What else, Lee?
When you ask that question, the first thing that comes to mind is what was in the previous lesson, the royal law. And that is in accordance with the, law of liberty, the royal law, and the law of royal.
Mm-hmm.
And also that also has to do with the one that we all learned when we were kids, and that was the golden rule,
right.
You get all of that together, you can't hardly miss if you do it.
Exactly. And it's our attitude towards putting God first. We read and study the Bible. Carol.
You said you're supposed to be an effective hearer of the word. So mm-hmm. when you hear something, you say, oh, I could visit the sick, or I could do that. When you hear it, you say, oh, I could do that. And then when you see somebody else doing it, you say, oh, well, I could do that, or maybe they could help me do that. So it's not something I could do everything all the time, but you just have to work it. Start where you see an opportunity.
Exactly. And somebody may be a little timid in doing that. So we have brothers and sisters around us that will help us, that will enable us to be doers of the word. When we study the Bible and read the Bible, we try to see what God wants you and I to do. Just reading and studying and acquiring all that knowledge, it doesn't stop there. We have to go to the next level and put that into action. Because we hear the word, we hear people talk about, maybe the next slide would be better to share with you. It's not about how many doctrines we know or how many verses in the Bible we memorize. You know, for years, and I wasn't a Christian for that many years, only 40 plus years, but I never grew up in a church where memorization. I don't memorize anything. I can't. But I know where to look in the Bible where things are. And I know because of my study. And it's not how well you know Greek or Hebrew. It's not how many times you read the Bible. We could go to thousands of Bible studies and listen to 10,000 sermons. However, it's worthless. If you don't put those things into practice, if you don't put those things that you learn into action in your Bible, because that's what Christianity is all about. It's about putting the principles we learn in the Bible into practice. Now, we could read and study. We could listen to people with flowery speeches in their sermon delivery. But if you don't put these things into practice, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And Jesus is going to say, hey, what did you do for me? Well, I studied. Did you help someone in need? Did you see a brother that was hurting? And did you offer the help? That's what Jesus wants from you and I. That's what Jesus wants in our lives, to emulate him. We read the Gospels about Jesus' life, and we can see what he was about. Even when the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to trick him into twisting his words, he turned them right back on them. Because Jesus stood for the truth, and that's what you and I should stand for. No matter what the cost is, no matter if someone's going to humiliate us, someone's going to put us down, we are Christians, and we should be like Christ. And we should put what we learn from the Bible in our lives into practice so that it's proactive in our lives. When they see us walking in this world, they could see a Christian who is not part of this world, who doesn't engage in the worldly things, but a Christian who stands for the truth, no matter what will happen to him. How does that relate to your life? How does that relate to you as a Christian? When someone is trying to put you down, but yet you stand up for the truth. Because that's what Jesus would do. There are three elements to hearing and receiving the word of God. When we study God's word, we should be not only meditating on that word, but also praying to God for wisdom so that you may apply these things to our life, to your life. One is submission. A lot of people don't like that particular word, especially in the world that we live in today. But yet, we as Christians, we submit to the will of God. We follow God's commandments that he gave us so that we can be approved of God. Another element of hearing and receiving God's word is purity. We listen to what God says, and he communicates to us through his word. It's interesting when you're trying to teach kids to play sports, and you keep on harping upon them. You gotta talk to individuals so they know. You gotta communicate. And God communicates to you and I through his word. We are blessed that we have the Bible in our lives. And we could read it in any language. We can look at what God is telling you and I. And the final word of hearing and receiving the word is humility. Meekness, loving kindness added to your lives. So here, we hear what God is telling us through his word when we study and read and meditate on it, and also pray about the things that we hear. And there are three elements we should remember about obeying the word in relationship to yourself. The Christian is willing to apply the word without deception. Make sure when you listen to the word and hear what God is telling you, apply it to your life. Be honest with yourself. Also, in relationship to others, the Christian is willing to apply the word without selfishness. Are we able to share with our brothers and sisters in the joy you have, in the sorrows you have? Are we able to comfort each other? Are we able to share the love we have for our brethren? We have to take all those things that are blinding us and make sure that we are reaching out to our brethren and helping them. And finally, in relationship to the world, the Christian is willing to apply the word without compromise. You know, for years, people say, well, look, we got to get bodies into the pews. We got to do this. But don't compromise God's word. Teach it in its purest form. Share it with others, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, so that they may have the same opportunity that you and I have, salvation. It's not guaranteed. Salvation is given to us by Jesus' death on the cross so that we as Christians will have that opportunity to be with God in heaven. Provided that our Christian walk of life is dedicated to God, and it's by God's grace and mercy we'll be approved in him. Not by what we do, but he expects you and I to be doers of the word, to be hearers of God's word, but yet make sure that we don't offend individuals. We don't compromise his word. It takes me back to the Old Testament. When Joshua was entering the land of Canaan, and God told him, look, you go there, that's your land, take it, and kill all those people, and not only the humans, but also the animals, the livestock. That was his charge. And what did the children of Israel do? They didn't do it. They compromised. They went against God's will. We as Christians today, we read and study on what God says to do. And we falter because we humans, we sin. But yet, we should learn from those stumbling blocks. We should learn from those things that we sin so that we could, again, put them in action for God's sake so that we can be approved of God. So what are some ways people are loose with their tongues? Now, he introduces this in verse 26. And could someone read that verse for us, please? Thank you, Eileen. So James here introduces the fact that we should bridle our tongue. How many times we don't do that? There are a lot of things as Christians we should realize we're doing wrong. We like to hear ourselves. In fact, a loose tongue, someone who doesn't bridle it, we see that. They like to interpret and dominate conversation. As Carol said, listen and ask questions. Just because someone says something, and you already have in your mind that you are hearing this, you don't interpret that and present your own thoughts on it. Listen to that individual. Being easily provoked and lashing out at others. How many times when we start listening to someone, we get so angry, we lash back. We have to be in control, a loose tongue. Here's another one, gossiping and telling tales. Do we engage in that? Should we be as Christians? No. We should be basically loving individuals who share with each other and assist each other. How many times we like to criticize and murmur? Well, I don't like what that guy's doing. We do this all the time. I don't like what he's wearing. That doesn't matter. We should not be criticizing. As Christians, we should be putting that out of our minds. Judging and condemning others. We're not judges. The only judge is Jesus. And he will judge. We don't look at that. We studied last week, a couple of weeks ago, about a poor man and a rich man entering your assembly. And you favor the rich man. Think about that. Don't condemn or judge others. Using name calling and cursing. That's a loose tongue. We should control our tongue. We should be able to not use those things derogatory terms. Another thing, engaging in suggestive and off-colored talking. That shouldn't be a part of the Christian's vocabulary. That shouldn't be what Jesus expects from you and I. He expects us to share the truth. That is his death, burial, and resurrection with others. Talking and running down others. I'm as guilty as anyone else in some of these categories. When I listen to what is happening in the world and it gets me upset. I can't do better. But yet I should focus on what God wants me as a Christian to do. And that is to share his word. So that's a loose tongue. Anybody else could think of anything else to add to that list? It's pretty encompassing. But yet, yes, Carol.
Yeah, well, we don't think about it. But lying is one of those things that, you know, or a white lie for you, or misdirecting somebody when they're doing something, just to cover our base to keep from being embarrassed. And we all also have to remember that all of us come with some sort of baggage. And so just because somebody else isn't in the same space or working on the same thing that you are working on, doesn't mean that they aren't working on what problems they brought into being a Christian that they need to work on and get it out of their life.
Exactly. We all have to improve on our Christian walk of life. And we should look internally to ourselves and say, what can I do better? And push away all those worldly things that affect us. And our tongue will get us in a lot of trouble. And it will hurt people. It will hurt people to the core and cause rift between those individuals and strife between those individuals. And it could fester for years. And as a Christian, Jesus doesn't expect you and I to act that way. We have to really be concerned. And we'll talk more about the tongue later on in the next few weeks because it's important. And James thought it was important that we should control our tongue. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice.
Thank you, Faye. So Paul shares with the saints of Ephesus, put all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and slander, get that out of your life, along with malice. Take all those things and put them on the shelf. Get rid of them. Because it's important to walk for Jesus at all times with your walk, with your talk, and your actions. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, can I get a volunteer to read that for us, please?
Remember that subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration.
Thank you very much, James. So we see Paul again is sharing with Titus what he expects people to do. And he wants Titus to share these thoughts and these things that he shares with him with other individuals. Like you and I today, we are very fortunate we have God's word to look upon them. And he first of all says, be subject to rulers, be obedient. To me, that was hard years and years ago. But you have to put God's word into action. Malign no one, but be peaceable. Be gentle and show every consideration to all men. That is the charge that we have as Christians. So what is the pure word of religion, pure and undefiled religion? And can I get a volunteer to read James chapter 1, verse 27, please.
You're an undefiled religion.
Thank you, Dave. So, James shares with us what pure and undefiled religion is. That is the business of orphans and widows in their distress. And to keep oneself, to keep yourself unstained by the world. So that we should be displaying practical compassion to orphans and widows in their distress. Christians are to have a genuine concern for the welfare of others, especially those who are in great need. And orphans and widows in distress are in great need. Orphans don't have parents. And the widows who just lost a mate, we should be concerned about their welfare. We should help them so that they could again be strong. Also in verse 27, demonstrate the religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless, both in our personal life and public life. We have to display what Christianity is to the world, whether we do it privately or when we do it openly in public. Christians ought to have a pure and loving heart by the way they talk and the way they act. Are you doing that today in your life? Are you putting God first? That's what God expects from us. That's the way he wants us as Christians to live. And also, Christians ought to be willing to apply the word of God without compromise. Just because we want to bring others to Christ, don't compromise the truth. Make sure you stand firm and tell those individuals what the truth is. So how can you So how can you continue to grow in your daily work, in your daily walk with God? This is a question to think about. And now there's a lot of answers, and people have different responses. But how do you feel that you can improve in your daily walk of God, walk with God in this life? I'm sorry?
You have to practice.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Go ahead. Exactly.
Bear the cross and follow him. And like the rich ruler, it's wealthy, and what else do I need to do? And we said to get rid of everything, kind of follow me. He could,
yeah, and that happens even in our society today. And very good point. Go ahead, Carol.
When we look at something, we realize we lose something. We miss an opportunity for something. We said something we shouldn't have or whatever. We have to hear ourselves make that mistake. We have to ask for repentance, ask God to forgive this, and know that he forgives us and continue to work on it. But if you don't hear or see your mistake that you made, you just keep making it.
Exactly. I put things into practice. Put God's commandments into practice in our lives, and also help others who are in need to the best of our ability. Thank you very much for your comments and your participation in class. Next week's lesson are in the back for you, chapter 2. And I believe when I was studying chapter 2, I thought I could do that a couple of weeks. Looks like it's going to take longer because there's a lot of information that James shares with us. Thank you very much.